super quiet and staring at me, but that's all right. God's word is good, and we're going to have a good time in his word. So, you know, I'm going to get down on my knees, and I'm gonna pray. We need God to show up. We need God to come and speak to our hearts. We say this all the time, and it's so good. And we, you know what, it's good that we hear it often, that, you know, we don't come into the house of God to hear from a man. Listen, God's word is God's word. God's word will always be good, whether it's myself, Pastor Luke, Michael, Antonio, whoever is up here preaching God's word. God's got something good to say to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. And that should be your what's in your heart when you come to church. Man, I'm going to church to hear from God, regardless of who's standing in the pulpit. Amen? So I'm going to get down on my knees and pray, and let's invite God to come speak to our hearts today. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. Father, we thank you today for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, today for all that you have provided, all that you've done, Father God. We could sit here, Lord, and thank you for the rest of eternity, Lord, because that's how good you've been. We thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity to come into your house. And Father, as we open up your word, we're asking that you'd speak to our hearts. Father, help us to open up our hearts. Father, help us to and teach us, Lord, to have ears to hear, Father God, hearts that respond, lives that take a hold of what you're saying, Lord, and put it into practice into their lives. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Have your way. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement with that said? Amen. Well, I'd like to start off today doing something just a little bit different. So if you brought your Bible, grab a hold of your Bible, stand to your feet, and I want to lead you in a confession. Confession. Confession is not just for the Catholic Church when you've done something wrong. The Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, our hope without wavering. Man, I'm going to run out of hands here. Anyways, without wavering, for God who promised is faithful. And so today, hopefully you write your Bible. Today, we're going to make a proclamation of our hope and of our faith in the Word of God. And I believe that it'll be a blessing to you. Hopefully today, you can take some of the things we say, take it home with you, say them over yourself before you open up the Word of God, before you leave the house. It will be a blessing to you as you declare what you believe about God's Word. So take your Bible, raise it above your shoulder at least, and say it like you mean it, all right? Say, this is my Bible. This is God's Word written to me. It is the infallible, incorruptible, ever-living, inspired Word of God. It saves, it heals, it delivers, and restores my soul. It is able to build me up and give me an inheritance with all the saints. It delivers God's grace to my life. It shows me God's promise for my situation. It is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. It is living. It is powerful. It is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Heaven and earth will pass away. But God's word, my Bible, will never pass away. I believe my Bible. I can believe what the Bible says I can believe. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I have what the Bible says I have. How about this one? I am what the Bible says I am. It says I'm a new creation. It says I'm an overcomer. It says I'm a child of God. Jesus loves me. This I know, for my Bible tells me so. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and give the Lord a praise if you believe that. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for it today. Today, I'm calling this message a picture of you. A picture of you. So if you're taking notes, you can jot down the title. I'm going to pull out my timer here because I intend on finishing on time today. I'm calling this message a picture of you. And today what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring to light the picture, the description, if you will, that God paints of you in his word. I want you to know tonight what God thinks of you, what he planned, what he purposed, what he destined you to be. And today I hope that your heart gets a hold of it. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And let's just be honest today. You know what? If you're allowing life circumstances, if you're allowing people's opinions, if you're allowing the elements of the earth, the influences out there, if you will, movies, music, so on and so forth, to determine how you see yourself, then let's just be honest, guys, you're running the risk of becoming that thing. Why? Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And you know what? If the world taints who you see when you look in the mirror, then guess what? You're running the risk. Hey, you're not going to end up being what God's called you to be. However, the good news today is that if you can get a hold of what God's word says about you, if you can get a hold today of who you are, I like this, in Christ, not who you are in yourself, not who you've been, what you've achieved, what you've not achieved. But if you can get a hold of who you are in Christ, if your heart can get a picture, I'm here to tell you today that your life will change. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm here to tell you today, as you get a picture of how God sees you, you're setting yourself up to become all that God's called you to be and do all that God's called you to do. And I'm here to tell you today, too, that you know what, guys? It doesn't matter. What God has for you to do and who God has called you to be will always be better than what you have for yourself. Will always be better than who you think you want to be, where you want to go, what you want to achieve. What God has for you, what he's purposed and what he's planned for you will always be better than what you want for yourself, what the world can offer, what it can offer. And so today, I want to paint a picture of you from the Word of God. If you brought your Bibles, turn them with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 17. I'm going to read it to you from the New King James Version. And then I want to look at the Good News translation of the same verse, because I like how it says it. But Romans chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says this. It says, "For if by one man's offense," talking about Adam, If by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." I'm going to ask the guys in the back to put up on the overhead screen the same verse in the Good News translation. It says this, it says, "It is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ?" And now it's going to tell you what that result is. Are you ready? This is awesome. "All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Jesus Christ." All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Jesus Christ. Did you know today that God called you, that God destined you? In fact, he purposed in Christ Jesus that you would rule and that you would reign in life. We just read in the New King James Version, the Bible just said that we would reign in life. We just read in the Good News translation, we would rule in life. I like the Weymouth translation of this New Testament verse. It says that we would reign as kings in life. So let me ask the question again, because you guys are kind of just staring at me like, did you know that God has destined, God has purposed, God has called you, anointed you, put purpose in Christ Jesus that you would rule and that you would reign in life? The Weymouth translation says, as kings and as queens in life. Let me put it to you like this. God never intended for life to dominate you. God intended for you to dominate life. God never intended you as a Christian, as a believer, to come along and allow the circumstances of life, what people have to say about you, what's going on, what's not going on, to come along and determine how you think, who you're going to be, how you're going to talk, what you're going to say, what decisions to make, where to go. God always determined that you would dominate life, that you would rule and reign over life. That life would never dominate you, but that you, or that life would never bully you, if you will, but that you would bully life. God fully intended today that you as believers would take a hold of the reins of life. We ain't going to go there. We ain't going to do that. This is the way we're going to go. This is what God's word says. And see God's will and God's plan, as Erica said today, come to pass in your life. God never intended, you know, and let's just be honest. Too many of us in the house today, Pastor Joe speaking to himself, we allow life to dominate us. We're all too accepting. We allow it to tell us what to accept, how things are going to turn out, what to expect. You know what? Let me just put it to you like this. I promise you will live a miserable life if you live a life of allowing life to tell you what to expect. The word expect, you'll find that the Bible defines that word as the word hope. And if the world's determining, if life is determining what to expect, you don't have any hope. Are you out there today? I think I'm speaking to like one or two people, but amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do it anyway. I remember not too long ago, Antonio and I, we were over at Valley College passing out shift flyers. And we've got a number of these flyers, and across the front of it, it says, "Shift happens." Then in little font, it says, you know, every Friday night at 7 o'clock on the back, got directions and so on and so forth. So we're passing out these flyers, inviting people to shift. And some people, you know, they're on a break or whatever, they're sitting at a table, and you can go and kind of make conversation, tell them about the service, tell them about church, you know, even lead them to the Lord if you have the time. Other people, they're on a mission, they got a class to get to, you know, and so you can just, you know, throw them a flyer. "Hey, man, I got a flyer for you. God bless you. Have a good day," whatever, and that's the end of it. So I remember we're just about done, and I got done talking with a group of like three people here, and then there's this guy. He was on a mission. So I just grabbed one of the flyers. I said, "Hey, man, here's a flyer for you. You could check it out later." He's like, "Oh, thanks, man." He's all, "Shh, happens." Yeah, and I was like, no. I was like, "No, shift happens." He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it." But so what is the point of the story? The point is where did humanity come up with a saying like that? Shift happens. You know exactly what I'm trying to say. Where did humanity come up with a saying like that? Humanity came up with a saying like that because, you know what? Shift happened in their life. Life happened. Life brought about an unfavorable circumstance. And you know what? Because it was out of their control, they just came to a place, you know what? We got to accept it. We got to deal with it. Shift happens. All the while now, God never intended mankind to live like that. Let me give you another example. I remember. Anyways, my son was born with congenital heart disease, for those of you who don't know. And I remember my wife gave birth to him. The doctors pretty much within the next few minutes took him to a room, and he was in the room for hours. We couldn't see him. We didn't know what was going on. We're waiting in the delivery room, and a doctor shows up. Doctor, straightforward, I mean, as cold could be, looks me in the face and says, "Look, your son is on life support. He's got a serious heart issue. We don't know if he's going to make it. We're going to transfer him to Loma Linda." And it was just like, are you serious? So, and I know why he was so incompassionate. It was because he was expecting us to freak out, which thank God we didn't. I was freaking out on the inside a little bit. And so they transfer him to Loma Linda. And over there at Loma Linda, they got hooked up to all these machines. I mean, he's got wires. There's numbers, there's computers, there's all kinds of stuff going on. He's got tape around his face, a breathing tube down his throat, and bless the poor little nurse's heart. She's trying to be as encouraging as she can. And so, she comes along, she's like, "Would you like me to print out a list of some of the things that you'll face now that your son has been born with congenital heart disease? Just so you know, she was being real nice. I didn't take it offensive, and I was like, "Sure, why not? Whatever." And so she goes on the computer, gets on the site, and she clicks print. And then, I kid you not, about 10 minutes goes by. She goes around the corner, and she brings back a stack of paper, probably 100 pages, of things that you're going to have to deal with: development issues, brain issues, breathing, speech impediment. I mean, the list went on. It was like, Every possible thing that could possibly go wrong with a human being is going to happen to your son, and you're going to deal with it. I took the pieces of paper. I said, "Thank you very much." I walked outside, and I put them where they belong, in a trash can. Because you know what? Just because life happens doesn't mean I got to accept it. Doesn't mean I have to allow it to tell me how things are going to end up. Doesn't mean I have to allow it to dictate how the future of my son, how my attitude's going to be, what my view is on God. God, why did you? No, God has destined you and me in Christ Jesus to take life by the reins and dominate life, dictate life, and tell life, "No, the word of God, this is what the word of God says. This is how it's going to be." My son today, thank God, not because I'm super spiritual or I have all the faith in the world, or my wife either, But thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness, because today, my son, no medication, not a single machine, breathing tube, feeding machine, wires, no more. He's running around like a normal kid. No development issues. He just started saying mommy pretty well. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, you don't have to accept life. You don't just have to accept it. Oh, this is how it's going to be. Shift happens. Oh, I got to be careful because I might say the wrong thing. But what am I talking about today? I'm talking about opposing forces and situations, sickness and disease, demonic influences, bondages to sin, character flaws, and the list goes on. You can dominate life instead of it dominating you. Pastor Joe, that sounds all cool. That sounds wonderful and dandy. But is that really true? Does God really see little old me like that? I mean, after all, Pastor Joe, I'm not you. I'm not Pastor Jim. Is that really true? It is really true, and I'm glad that you asked, because today God has placed some things in motion. God has done some things in Christ Jesus. God has given you some things that make you reigning as a king in life a reality, reigning as a queen in life a reality. Are you ready to find out what those things are? Number one today, God has given you a position of authority. God has given you a position of authority. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 19 through 23. And, you know, I'm going to read them to you out of the Amplified version. We've got it up on the overhead screen. And you're welcome to follow along on the overhead screen or in your Bible. I'm sure that either way, it will all come together and make perfect sense. And let me say this, guys. We're going to go over a number of verses today. I don't want you to be discouraged with the amount of verses that we're going to look at, all right? All I'm asking you to do today is to open up your heart and the verses and the phrases and the sayings that God speaks to your heart. Grab a hold of them. And I'll tell you what, man, they'll bless your life. You know, if I could say to you before we go on real quick, in all lowliness, Pastor Joe is not trying to be conceited. Pastor Joe is not trying to be cool, super spiritual, or anything like that. But I want you to see something. Some of my friends have titled me the Walking Bible. Why? Because Pastor Joe can quote chapter and verse. If you need to know where something is in the Bible, go ask Pastor Joe. He could probably tell you. All right? But what I want you to know today is I didn't get that like that because I'm so cool, I'm so smart, I have a special calling, I'm super spiritual. Let me say this. If I could do it, you could do it too. The way that I got there was I simply came to church. I had a desire, God, with my heart, I want to hear what your word has to say. God, so when the preacher or the teacher would get up and proclaim a verse, man, I get a hold of it, of what spoke to me, as much of it as I could. And then, you know what, I'd go about daily life. And then all of a sudden a circumstance, a situation would come up, and all of a sudden that verse I had grabbed a hold with my heart would come up. I couldn't quote to you the chapter or the verse. I probably couldn't even quote to you the whole verse. But as time went on, grabbing hold of the word of God, all of a sudden now, when stuff came up, the word of God came up too. I like what one preacher said recently. I just thought it was amazing. I got to share it with you. The preacher said, if you feed and strengthen your heart with the word of God when times are good, and when seemingly there's no problems, everything's going the way that you think it should go, if you strengthen your heart, feed your heart the word of God when times are good, then when all hell breaks loose, your heart will feed and strengthen you. Your heart will feed and strengthen you. And that's how I memorize scripture. I remember when I went to Bible college, this guy named Billy Joe Watch, he was like a preacher, black guy. I mean, he could bring the roof down. I was like, I want to be Billy Joe Watts. But I remember the first time I saw him get up to speak, he just simply quoted a part of a verse that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that's all I got hold of. And then all of a sudden later on, I built upon that. Anyways, I'm getting off track. So don't be discouraged by the amount of verses that we're going to look at today. Grab a hold of it with your heart, and it will do wonders in your life. All right? So Amplified version here, Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. He says this. He says, I pray so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of God's power in and for us who believe. All right? Now he's about to describe this power that is in and for you who believe. It says, he says, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted or which he worked, which he did in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority, and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, but also in and in this world, but also in the age and in the world which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed Jesus, the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Now, everybody here, Christians today, would just be fine and dandy if we read that verse and we left it at Jesus, he died, God raised him from the dead on the third day, seated him at his right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, so on and so forth. And therefore, Jesus has supreme authority over all things. Everybody be like, yay! But then the moment we come along and we say, and Christians likewise, Christians too, if you are a believer, you too have been seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, and you too have supreme authority over all things. All of a sudden now, this guy's crazy. I don't want to hear that. Or we just don't have the ability to believe that. Really, Pastor Joe? Really? I've been seated in heavenly places, and I have supreme authority over all things? Absolutely. Today, if you're in Christ Jesus, today, we just read, you are his body. And if God set Jesus at his right hand far above all principality and power and might and dominion, guess what? If you're in him and you're his body, you've been seated there too. You have supreme authority over all things. This authority, thank you for that one hand clap, this authority enables you to dominate life instead of life dominating you. Now, I'm only getting two amens because some of you are still like, I don't know about that, Pastor Joe. I believe that God's all-knowing. Do you? And I believe that he knew that we were going to have a hard time swallowing some of this information. Really, God? Am I really seated in supreme authority over all things? You are. Let's read now Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified Bible as well. Keep in mind, as we read this, that when the original writers penned these verses, they did not put chapters and verses. All right, chapter and verses were added later so that we could navigate together through the Word of God. So this is all still the same thought. All right? So he just talked about Jesus. He just said, we're the body. Okay, Pastor Joe, I can kind of see it. Maybe. I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not gonna base any of my life off of that. Watch what God says now in verse number 6. Because God, knowing we'd have a hard time, makes it very clear right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You've been seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Listen, guys, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, every title that can be conferred, because you're in him and you're the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, you might only feel like, okay, if I'm the body, I'm like, Pastor John, I'm like the pinky toe. That's about all I am. You're still far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. God has given you a position of authority. It's for this reason that Jesus can come along and tell his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 8, hey, disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, therefore freely give. Why? Because all authority has been given unto him, and you are in him. You are the body, and the authority has been given to you too. It's for this reason that Jesus can come along and says, he who believes in me, do you believe in him today? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Hello, somebody. Jesus, wake us up. This is why he can come along and say, have faith in God. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Why? Because all authority has been given unto your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God put you in him. He made you the body, and therefore you've been seated at his right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Today you have a position of authority. It makes you, being a king, dominating life, a reality. Today, number two, God has given you his faithful promises. Is it really true? It's really true that you're supposed to dominate life. Why? Because God's given you a position of authority, and because God has given you his faithful promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. I should hear more Bibles turning than I hear, but that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. I'll just believe it's iPhones. It says, for all the promises of God, every one of them, in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All of the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen. You know, there's an Old Testament verse I happen to like a lot, and it's actually in Kings. But keep in mind, it was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, a better covenant with better promises. In the Old Testament, this is what it says. It says, not one word of all of God's good promise failed. Not a single word. And then all of a sudden it comes along now in the New Testament. It says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Listen, guys, not one promise God has given you through his word will ever fail if you'll just believe it. None of this, oh, you know what, I'll pray and we'll see if God does something. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. If I've been good enough, if I've got enough brownie points, if I came to church, the Bible says all the promises of God in Christ, you're in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen. God has given you his faithful promises so that with them, it doesn't matter what you encounter in life, you've got God's promise to change that situation. Listen, today you may be in a situation, in a circumstance where, you know what, Pastor Joe, I just can't get it to get right. I just can't get it to turn out the way it needs to be. I've worked hard. I've done everything I've known to do. I've gone and seen people about this thing. But maybe your problem is that you just haven't found out what the Bible has to say about your particular situation and circumstance. Because once you find out what it has to say, you declare that promise over your life. And I'm here to tell you that God's promise is faithful. God's promise to you is yes. When you ask child, yes, yes, and amen. I want to read you just a little something that I found on blueletterbible.com about this word, amen. This word, amen, it says if it's quoted at the beginning of a discourse, at the beginning of a verse, it means surely, truly, of the truth. It says if it's at the end, and in this case it is, it says if it's at the end, the word amen means so it is, so be it, let it be fulfilled. So you could literally read this verse as, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him let it be fulfilled. So be it. Let it be. All right? This is what it says. It says, it was a custom which was passed over from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up solemn prayer to God, the others responded, amen, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. The word amen is a most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into Latin, and then into English, and many other languages, so that it is practically a universal word. It has been called the best-known word in human speech. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe or faithful. Thus, it came to mean sure or truly. Now, watch this. It's an expression of absolute trust and confidence. Now notice here, God says it for you and I. All of God's promises are yes, and in him, amen. In other words, you can put absolute trust and absolute confidence that God's promise will come to pass in your life. Amen. By these promises, you are enabled to be a king. You're enabled to be a queen and dominate life. And finally today, yay, I'm on time. Finally today, God has given you his abundant grace. God has given you his abundant grace. It's the third thing tonight that helps you and I be more than conquerors, be overcomers and dominate life. I was actually, as I was studying today, I realized that in just about every single epistle in the New Testament, so you got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but then the epistles are the rest of the books after that. But in almost every single one, the writer starts off by introducing himself, telling who he's talking to, and then he says, grace be to you. Grace be to you. I like what 2 Peter says. Peter comes along and says, grace be multiplied to you. That's what I'm talking about. Multiplication. I don't want no addition. Give me some multiplication of that grace, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Because God's grace, God intended for his grace to be so active in the life of a believer. God has given you his abundant grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, so you can see this. 2 Corinthians, you're already there in 2 Corinthians. Turn with me to chapter 9. Let's real quick look at verse number 8. This is a familiar passage, one that we say here often at the Rock. But I want you to see what it says. It says, and God is able to make all grace, not a grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I don't know if you caught it or not, but let's just be honest about it. Let's tell the truth in the house of God today. Most Christians see the grace of God as just simply the big cover-up. The big cover-up for their rebellious, sinful, insubordinate lifestyles. That's a very poor outlook on the word grace. And then some people think, well, God's grace, it's just there to help me with my physical needs in this natural world. I'm here to tell you today that God has all grace. He is the God of all grace. He's got grace for the spirit, soul, and body. It doesn't matter what you will ever face in life or what anybody will ever face in life, that God has grace that will more than meet the need. It doesn't matter what you face spiritually, soulishly, physically, God has grace to meet the need. It will more than meet the need. Are you hearing me today? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, number 10, you don't have to turn there. It says, but may the God of all grace. And then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 says this. It says, as his divine power. Now we know God's grace is his ability, his sovereign divine ability, his sovereign divine strength, his sovereign divine power to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. When the Bible says, as his divine power, it's talking about his grace, all right? It says, and as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Listen, guys, the grace of God is all you need. And he's opened up the windows of heaven. He's poured it out on you through his word, through his spirit. Coming to church, hearing praise and worship. That's some good worship today, by the way. God will pour out his grace on you. God has more than enough to meet every single need of your entire life. It will come down to this. It will come down to this. Going back to the Good News translation of Romans 5:17, it says, all who receive God's abundant grace. All who receive it. Are you receiving it today? Hopefully you're receiving it today. Hopefully today God's not pouring it out on your life in vain. But it says, all who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Jesus Christ. And I want to give this one last example because I think it's important for us to understand. But let's just be honest. Sometimes the reason why we don't rule in life is because we're ruled by our flesh. We're carnal. And so we do what the flesh wants us to do. You know, I tell the teens when I preach in youth, you know, you ever felt like slapping somebody? Ah! You can't get them to shout for anything else. Ah! No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's your flesh. That's what I tell them. That's your flesh. You just located your flesh. You ever felt like flipping somebody off? That's your flesh, all right? And so what we do is because we live a carnal lifestyle, we let our flesh dictate what we're going to do. Listen, guys, you know what the Bible says? When your flesh is in control, you can only produce what your flesh can produce. And that's death. That's death in your life. That's heartache. It's pain. It's the wrong decision. It's the wrong way to go. It's not God's will for your life. And you're only going to produce. However, if you are ruled by the Spirit, if you allow the Holy Spirit to determine your actions, your thoughts, your speaking, then guess what? You're going to produce what God would have you to produce in life, and you'll end up being a king and a queen who dominates life. And so we're talking about grace. What I want you to understand today is that God's grace is a character-building grace. God's grace will develop you the way you need to develop. Well, Pastor Joe, this is all we hear today. I was born this way. I got attitude because I'm Mexican. What now? I'm Puerto Rican. We just loud. That's how we do things. All the while, God's grace is a character-building grace. He will develop your character to have love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, patience. I don't have that verse memorized. I got them out of order. But God's grace is a character-developing grace if you'll let him develop your character. You know, if I could just be honest with you, and I'll close with this. Just the other day, it was Wednesday, I was over in the main sanctuary, and I'm walking. I was walking through, got some things, and I was headed back over here, and I had God speak to me about something on my job. And I realized that because of the way I was doing things, I was causing myself problems as a pastor on my job. And God came along, and listen, guys, I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's just so gentle. It's just so gentle. It goes across your heart. And it's so true. It penetrates and it cuts just to right where you're at. And I said, oh, God, you're right. God, help me do that. God, I see this is what's been causing this problem. God, I'm changing today. What was that? That was God's grace moving on my heart, showing me the truth. And because of his grace, character has been built in me now. I'm a better person than I was prior to Wednesday. Amen. God wants to build grace in your heart, God, or character in your heart through his grace. Well, praise God. I believe that you got something good from God's word. So if you did, why don't you give him thanks, giving praise for what he's done?